Amen. I pray that that was a beautiful aroma to the nostrils of God. I pray that He received that worship today. And I really believe there's three kinds of people here today. There's people who are all in their walk with God. I believe there's people here who are kind of in their walk with God. And I believe there probably are some people here who are not in at all in a walk with God. I really do. I really believe that defines us. We're either all in, kind of in, or we're not in. And I wonder today, where are you? Where are you in your walk with God? Is Jesus who you're focused on? Is Jesus the one that you are pursuing? You know, Luke chapter 12 is an incredible passage of Scripture, and I've really been focused on this passage for the past few weeks. I know we've been in it. And you're probably thinking, Brother Jeff, when are you going to get to chapter 13? Well, that'll be next week, Lord willing. But today, we're still in it. And some theologians actually title Luke chapter 12 as the hard sayings of Jesus. The hard sayings of Jesus. Jesus gives us some very difficult commands. As a matter of fact, you remember these commands. He says, don't be afraid. And he says, don't worry. Now, you're going, why is that hard? Because have you ever tried not to be afraid? Have you ever tried not to worry? Like, it goes against everything in our human nature. I mean, we are constantly fearful. We are constantly worried. And yet Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. Don't be worried. Don't live in worry. And so those are some hard sayings. And then he comes back and he says, hey, be ready. Be ready because I'm coming again. But in this life, is it really easy for us to be ready for Jesus? Because here's the truth. I think all of us get distracted in this life. We get distracted not by bad things. I think we get distracted by good things. We want to see kids grow up, and we want to go to graduations, and we want to go to ball games, and we want to see weddings, and we just get distracted by all these things. And so it's easy for us to say, Jesus, can you put off returning? Can you put that off? Unlike my Aunt Nancy, who used to say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? And so he gives us some very difficult commands, and he makes some very difficult statements. And the passage that we're going to read today is what most theologians call one of the most difficult passages of Scripture in the New Testament. I want to share some of the statements that Jesus has made in his Gospels. Now, these statements I'm about to share with you are what I like to call positive statements. They're good statements. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus told his disciples, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I thank God for that statement. I thank God that Jesus came to serve and not be served. I thank God that Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many because I'm one of those many. And so I love that statement. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus told his disciples, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. Anybody like that one? I don't know about you, but I love that statement. I have come to have, Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And not just any life, but full life. And we know that that's also eternal. He goes on in John chapter 12, verse 46, and he says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Now, that's a pretty good statement. I love that. Because you know this about me, but when I was a kid, I was afraid of the dark. And darkness was something that I feared for a long time, but the Lord has changed me and the Lord has lit me up. And there's just things I'm not afraid of anymore because I have the light of Jesus Christ in me. That's a powerful statement that I love. Here's another one. In John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus was speaking to Pontius Pilate, and this was just before he would be crucified, and this is what Jesus said. He said, in fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And so I love that statement, right? I love that passage of Scripture. You know, Jesus is very clear in these words that he gives his followers and he gives his disciples and that he gives us today. And it's really made in one statement. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the light. and Jesus is the truth. That's who Jesus is. If anyone ever asks you who Jesus is, you can answer, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. But you can also say, hey, Jesus is my life. I have no life apart from Him. Jesus is my light. If you see anything good in me and of me, it's because of the light of Jesus that is shining. And Jesus is the truth. See, I have the truth, and since I have the truth, I can recognize the lie. And I'm going to tell you something. This world is full of lies. Full of lies. You want to know why? Because the prince of this world is roaming around, roaming about spreading his lies. He's the father of lies. He is the devil. And so if you have Jesus, you have life, you have light, and you have truth. But what we see in this last part of Luke chapter 12 is that Jesus also came to bring fire and baptism. And this is going to be hard, okay? Because these other things we've talked about, we go, yeah, I want the life. Yeah, I want the light. Yeah, I want the truth. But when you start talking about fire and you start talking about baptism, which is suffering, by the way, it's like, not sure I really want to talk about that. But Jesus talked about it. And we have to hear these words. So listen to what he said beginning in verse 49. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49. Jesus said, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division. And I'm going to tell you, that's hard. That's hard for us to understand, because we go to the passages of Scripture where Jesus said, I have come to give you what? Peace. And then we read this, and it's like, wait, which one is it? Well, we're going to get there. But listen to what he says. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? Because that's different. No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This is a hard saying from Jesus. These are difficult words, but let me explain to you what these words mean in context. The fire that Jesus says he has come to bring, the fire represents judgment. And it represents judgment for the wicked. But fire also represents purification, and that purification is for the righteous. See, fire can be looked at as both negative and positive. And that is how Jesus is using it. The fire represents judgment for the wicked, and it represents purification for the righteous. Jesus didn't use these words reluctantly. He used them passionately. Jesus was ready to speak these words. Jesus wanted the evil in the world to be exposed. And guess how you expose the evil in the world? How do you expose the darkness in the world? You shine the light on it. And Jesus is the light, and that is what he's doing. He wanted evil to be rid of in this earth. He wanted the earth to experience the full expression of God's kingdom, his kingdom of light, his kingdom of love, and his kingdom of truth. And this was the way. In fact, Jesus is the way. The baptism that Jesus talked about. He said, I have a baptism that is upcoming. And he said he was constrained by it. It's because he knew what that baptism was. That baptism that Jesus was talking about, it represented his upcoming suffering. Jesus knew that to expose the evil in the world and to rid the world of that evil, it was going to cost him. it was going to cost him. There would be suffering. Jesus has already told his disciples time and time again that he would be handed over to evil men and that he would die. He's already told them this. And so this mention of baptism, it was a symbolic reference to his coming death. And that coming death would be on the cross. Jesus would spill his blood. He would pour out his blood for the sins of the world. He would take on the full wrath of God as the punishment, as the penalty, as the payment of our sin. That's Jesus. I love what Pastor Chuck Swindoll says in his commentary. Pastor Chuck says, a baptism of fire, the fire of the divine judgment, God's divine judgment upon sin was here. And God was not playing with his son, Jesus. This was a real judgment. This was real fire. This was the fullness of God's wrath upon the sin of the world. And Jesus took it. I love that. Jesus took the full wrath of God, the full judgment of God, not because he sinned, but because you sinned and because I sinned. Jesus took it. And that is the fire and the baptism that Jesus was talking about. Jesus will go to the grave. And I'm going to tell you something. The grave can't hold him. Because the Spirit of God raised him from the dead to defeat sin and to defeat death, something you and I could never do because we are sinful. Jesus was righteous, and since he took God's wrath for us, he also won victory for us. And that is something to celebrate. And so even though these words are hard for some to hear, they ought to be beautiful for you and me to hear if you're a Christ follower. These are beautiful words. Jesus said he would bring peace to those who embrace him, who embrace his life, who embrace his light, who embrace his truth. Jesus said, the one who sides on truth is with me. And Jesus promises us all throughout the scriptures that he would give us peace, but that peace comes with our surrender. That peace comes with our repentance of sin and our faith and trust in him as our Lord and our Savior. This is the truth of repentance. This is the truth of faith. And we will experience the peace of God. You know what kind of peace it is? It's a peace that passes all understanding. There will be times in your life when you're going through a storm. There'll be times in your life when you're going through a struggle and you won't even understand. Why am I so calm? Why am I not panicking right now? Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be times when you're panicking too. But there will be times if you're a Christ follower when you won't even be able to explain why you are handling it the way that you are. I'll tell you why. Because the Spirit of God indwells you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is yours. It is the gift of God. It comes with his grace. It comes with his mercy. It comes with his love that is found in Jesus Christ. And so if Jesus Christ is your Messiah, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you absolutely will experience peace. But this earth will not. And Jesus makes that clear. He didn't come to bring peace on this earth. He came to bring peace to his children. He came to bring peace with those who accepted him and embraced him as Lord. And then he flips it. He said, what am I bringing? I'm bringing division. Jesus brings division. And who does he bring division to? He's very clear. He brings division to those who reject him, to those who reject his life, to those who reject his light, and to those who reject his truth. And those who reject him, then they reject the love of God. They reject the grace of God. They reject the mercy of God. And therefore, they will not have the gift of God that is peace that passes all understanding. They won't be people of peace. They'll be people of chaos. You want to know why? Because they're not children of God. They're children of the devil. And the devil can only bring chaos. The devil can only bring confusion. That's what he wants. And Jesus is shining the light And he's telling the truth so that you can choose. You can choose to be in the light. You can choose to be in the life and in the truth and on the side of truth. Some will embrace Jesus and others will reject him. And listen, sometimes it'll happen in your own house. How many mamas and daddies right now are praying for a son or a daughter to surrender to Jesus because so far they've only rejected him? How many wives right now are praying for husbands who are lost and on that wide road that leads to destruction? How many husbands are praying for wives right now? How many? I'm going to tell you, if you don't know, I do. It's a bunch. It's a bunch. There are families right now that are divided. You want to know why? Because there are some who choose to follow Christ and there are others who are laughing at them because they choose to follow Christ. It's happening. It's reality. And listen, don't take my word for it. What did Jesus say? Jesus said there will be a son against a father and a father against a son because of him. There will be a mother against a daughter and a daughter against a mother because of him. There will be a mother-in-law against a daughter-in-law and a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law because of him. That's not my word. Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, guess what? It's true. Another one of my favorite preachers is Dr. Tony Evans, and I love what Dr. Tony Evans said, and I believe what he says absolutely lines up with what Jesus says. Dr. Tony Evans says this. He says, true discipleship, that means you are surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are following him obediently. That's what discipleship is. It's knowing the Word of God and lining up with the Word of God. And so Tony Evans says true discipleship with Jesus involves a radical commitment in this life. And it will bring both reconciliation and conflict. Now that's hard to hear if you don't listen carefully and understand. He said when you surrender to God, when you repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are walking with Jesus in true committed discipleship, it will bring both reconciliation and conflict. Because here's the truth. When you repent of your sin and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are immediately reconciled with God. Reconciled with God, that means you are made right in relationship with God. And listen to me, only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. But here's the other truth of that. When you are made right with God, you ain't gonna be right with this world. You ain't gonna be right with this world. Because this world is sinful and it is broken because of its sinfulness. And so you're not gonna be okay with sinfulness. You're not gonna be okay with the brokenness of this world. And so you're gonna be living in conflict with it. Your spirit is gonna battle against your flesh. And so there's going to be a struggle there. And that's what Jesus is telling us. It also reminds me of what Dr. David Jeremiah says. Dr. Jeremiah says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know where he gets that from? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But the peace he brings in this world is internal, not external. And it is reserved for those who are surrendered to him and love him. He brings division, on the other hand, to those who neither love him nor want him. They reject him. In this world, the truth of Jesus divides. And Jesus wanted to prepare his disciples for the rancor, for the filthiness that would come for those who refused Christ. That's some powerful words. I love how Dr. David Jeremiah puts it. He puts it in a way that I can't, but it's absolutely true. Listen, this is hard. These are hard sayings of Jesus. They're so hard that theologians have differing opinions as to what it truly means. And here, I'm telling you right now, I'm not here to sway you towards an opinion. I just want you to see what Jesus says. I'm here to tell you that there is a difference between being righteous and being unrighteous. There is a difference between being holy and made holy and living unholy. There is a difference in being in Christ and not in Christ. There is a difference between being filled with the Spirit of God and not filled with the Spirit of God. There's a difference. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to make this real easy. You either know Jesus personally and intimately or you don't. Amen. You either do or you don't. A while ago, I told you there's three kinds of people, all in, kind of in, or not in. Let me tell you the truth now. I kind of stretched a little bit, but let me tell you the truth. You're either in or you're not. Amen. You're either all in or you're all out. You know what Jesus says about straddling the fence, don't you? Yeah, go read the scriptures. I ain't gonna spoon feed you. Look it up. Go look at what Jesus says about trying to have one toe in the world and one toe out. Go look at what Jesus says about trying to straddle that fence. You either in or you out. Now, I'd love to say I'm all in, but I struggle. I struggle. I'm like Paul. I know what I ought to do, and sometimes I find myself not doing it. I know what I ought not do, and I find myself doing it sometimes. But at the end of the day, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He is mine, and I am His. And that has made the difference in my life. And it continues to make the difference in my life. And you want to know something? It makes the difference in my eternity. I have no reservation. I have no doubt. I have no fear about where I'm going to spend my eternity. It will be with my God, and it will be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever and ever. I am eternally secure because of who Jesus is in me and because of what Jesus has done for me. It's personal. It's intimate. And I'm passionate about it. Does that mean I'm perfect? No, it does not. Does that mean I'm struggle-free? No, it does not. Does that mean I'm going to act peacefully even because I have peace? No, it does not. You don't know me well enough if you think I'm always just peaceful in every situation. If you want to know, ask my bride. Because she'll tell you. Yeah, he's got that peace. He just don't exercise it sometimes. What's difficult for us to hear is that Jesus came to bring fire. And that Jesus came to bring division. You want to know why that's hard? It's because we go to these other scriptures like the letters of Paul and we see, oh, well, Jesus, he unifies us. And Jesus brings us together. Yes, he does. Christ followers. The body of Christ. Born again believers. But he calls us to be different and to live different, which means that ain't going to line up with the world we live in. That means we're going to be divided from the world we live in. Now, here's the thing. Does that mean I can just go out there and talk to unbelievers? Does that mean I can go out there and talk to those who are living in their sin and embracing their sin and rejecting Jesus however I want to? Then you don't know the scriptures, right? Because Jesus said you're to love those who hurt you. You are to pray for those who persecute you. You are to go to people with gentleness and tell them the truth. Not punch them in the nose and say, listen to me. And I believe there's Christ followers that are struggling in that. They're trying to win a battle with a person instead of trying to lead people to Jesus. They would rather be found being right instead of being found being loving. And listen, I struggle too. When someone is just lying, it's hard for me to say you're a lie. You know, you're lying, and let me tell you the truth. I just want to say, shut up. And so I can get full of myself sometimes and leave no room for Jesus to actually speak through me and work through me. There's a struggle there. Jesus wasn't saying live however you want to. He was saying live like me, love like me. Shine your light. Demonstrate your life. Pour out the truth. And let the Spirit do what the Spirit does. He goes on and he finishes this chapter up with another pretty hard saying. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. And the very next word is a very difficult word for us to listen to. But here's what he says. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, which is a judge, try hard to be reconciled on the way. The key word in all of that is reconciled. Try to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Now we read that and we go, what in the world is Jesus talking about? What is he talking to me as a Christ? Who is he talking to? And again, I want you to think about the context. Think about all of Luke chapter 12. Here's what he was saying. And when it says he spoke to the crowd, he knew that there were those there who received him, who embraced him as Messiah. But he also knew that there were those there who had been rejecting him and who still rejected him right then and there. And so Jesus took a common sense earthly thing, weather, and he used it to talk about a supernatural thing, reconciliation. And so the people looked for, and they even accepted signs of weather patterns, but they ignored the signs of the Messiah. Think about that for a minute. Let me give you another example. How many of you would say that you're a person of trust? I'm not asking if you can be trusted in. I'm saying you practice trust all day long. Like you trust. Okay, so never mind. I don't guess there's anybody in here. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust in God? I hope so. If not, we're gonna have an invitation in a minute and you can. All right, so let me ask you this. How many of you this morning, you got up, you took your shower, your bath, hopefully brush your teeth, all that stuff. How many of you got in your car and you just expected it to crank when you put the key in? Okay, that's called trust. How many of you, when you got on the road, you thought to yourself, I will be at the church in 15 minutes. I'll be at the church in 20 minutes. And here's the thing. If you did get on the road, you trusted the other crazy Louisiana drivers who were on the road with you. Am I telling the truth or what? Marty tells me all the time, please be careful when you're running. What she's really doing is praying for the drivers on the road to see me and know that I'm out there. It's not that she don't trust me like I don't know where I'm going. She don't trust the other people on the road. What she trusts is she's putting a lot of trust in them that they're not on their phone or they're not distracted by the hot coffee they just spilled on their leg and they don't hit me. What I'm saying is we put our trust in so much stuff in this world, but we don't trust the one who created it with equal trust or with greater trust. Jesus is saying you look for and you accept the signs of the weather and the patterns of the weather, but you ignore the signs of me, the Messiah, the signs of God. Listen, the clouds, so where he was, they would actually move in from the west. It's kind of like us. You know, that western wind comes. You look up in the sky and you see that dark cloud, and it's pretty obvious it's raining somewhere, and it might be coming to you. Right? So we put our trust in that. I'll give you another example. Where they were that day, the Mediterranean Sea, right, is the one that blew that. So they knew that when that wind blew, that water was right there. And when that wind blows, that water is going to be lifted up and then it's going to be poured out. He talked about that southern wind, right? That southern wind, what he was talking about was the Arabian Desert. Where they were, the desert of Arabia was directly south of them. So if the wind was blowing from the south, guess what kind of air is in the Arabian Desert? Hot air. So when they felt that wind coming, they knew the heat was behind it. And they put their faith, they just knew it's going to be a hot day. It's going to be a rainy day. And Jesus said, I'm standing right here. You've seen me work miracles. You've heard me preach the truth of God's word, and yet you ignore me. You put more faith in the cloud. You put more faith in the wind than you do the one who created the clouds, the one who directs the winds. That's what Jesus was saying. And so he says the failure, right? Their failure, he's talking to those who have rejected him, their failure to embrace Jesus and to reject the signs of God was compared to a legal dispute. That's what that was. Okay? He said, there's two people that don't agree, and they're on their way to the courts, but they could work it out right now while they have time. Because once they get to the judge, guess what? They out of time, and the judge is going to make a decision, and somebody's going to pay the price. So you know what this was about? This was about reconciliation. That's what this was about. Reconciliation. It's about being made right while we have time. Because there will be a time when it is too late to be reconciled. Again, why do I say you got to look at it in context? Because in the passage before this one, Jesus said, you better be ready. That's why context matters. People ask me all the time, why do you like to preach Luke chapter 1 and go all the way to the end of Luke? Why do you like to preach in verse 1 and go all the way to verse 59? Because context matters. Jesus said, be ready. Because I'm going to die, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, it's going to be too late. The time of reconciliation will be over. Jesus said, be reconciled now because the penalty will be severe and the penalty must be paid. This is a hard passage of Scripture. It's a tough passage of Scripture. These are hard sayings. And listen, even though I'm a child of God and I can say, hey, Jesus paid my price, I'm good. There are people that I'm in contact with and there are people that I see every day who aren't good. They aren't good because they haven't been made right with God. And they're living life like this is the only life they got. Like this is it. Listen to me. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says you were created with eternity in mind. In other words, this ain't it. This life on earth, yes, you only get one of these on earth. But that life God created you with, it's eternal. And you're either going to spend eternity with him in the light, in life, and in truth, or you're going to spend eternity separated from him in a place of darkness, in a place of fire, judgment, in a place called hell where there is only weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's the truth. And the world can't stand it. Oh, they want to talk about God's love all day long. And they want to talk about how everybody's a child of God, but they disregard every word that Jesus said. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody ain't a child of God. The only ones who are children of God are ones who've repented of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah. That's it. Amen. Anyone who has rejected Jesus Christ, whether you want to hear it or not, they are children of the devil. That's the truth. And that's what makes it hard. Jesus, he made it very clear. And he's going to continue to make it clear what God wants. Do you know what God wants? God wants our all-in embrace. He wants our all-in embrace. He doesn't want a superficial acknowledgement. He certainly doesn't want blatant rejection. See, there's a lot of people that say, well, I go to church. Oh, yeah, I know John 3:16. Oh, yeah, I give the church money. But there's a difference in knowing about God and knowing God. See, here's the truth, right? The truth is I can come to church every day it's open. I can give God my first fruits. I can give God more than 10%. I can sign up to serve with the men's ministry, the women's ministry. I can buy all the Christian t-shirts from Equip that they sell. I can have a library full of Christian books. But if I ain't got Jesus, I am not right with God. Amen. And I am not in relationship with God. The only way to be right with God, the only way to be in relationship with God is John chapter 14, verse 6. When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say Start Baptist Church. He didn't say your tithe. He didn't say your mama and daddy, your grandpa, your grandma. He didn't say the books and the shirts from Equipped or Lifeway or wherever you get it. He said through me, period. It ain't Jesus plus something. It's only Jesus. And the world, I'm just going to tell you, and the world don't like that. The world wants you to determine how you can get to God. And the world don't want me to tell you anything different. The world wants me to tell you, that's right, you're good. Hey, see you there. And here's what the world's going to get from me. You're crazy. You're a liar. I'm not going to agree with the world. I'm not going to agree with the ways of the world. I'm going to do my best to be gentle in love. I'm going to do my best to pray for those who are lost, but I ain't ever going to stop telling the truth. I will not compromise the truth. And I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if it costs me to be divided from my family. Are you willing to pay that price? Because what I'm finding in this world, there's a lot of people that ain't willing to pay that price. Are you willing to lose your job because you will not compromise on the truth? You will not compromise with the truth. I know that there's some that have lost their jobs, but I know there's some who are hiding, and they will take their job instead of telling the truth and standing up for the truth, because they think if they don't have their job, they won't have life. See, it all goes back to, what is your life? Who is your life? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your bank account? Is it your hobbies? What is your treasure? What is your treasure? What do you treasure? Because whatever you treasure, that's where your heart will be. See, all of this comes together, don't it? Jesus doesn't want your superficial acknowledgement. He doesn't want rejection. What he wants is he wants an all-in embrace. I trust you. I believe in you. With my heart, I confess you with my mouth. You are Lord. No one else is. I surrender to you, Jesus. I submit myself to you, Jesus. And man, when I say that, when I believe that with my heart and I confess that with my mouth, God says, you are saved. Isaiah 43:1, you are mine. But he promises me also in Isaiah 43 that, hey, the fires are going to get hot. But you won't burn up. You want to know why? You are mine. The water's going to get deep. And you might feel like you're drowning, but guess what? You won't drown. You want to know why? Because you are mine. And you were created with purpose. You were created to glorify me where you are and when you are. I'm going to tell you, when you stand in that truth, man, it's a good feeling. It's a good place to be. You can recognize the lies, and you can shine the truth, and you can shine the light, and you can shine the light of Jesus on it. And it'll flee. So here's my plea to you today. Choose Jesus. Choose to embrace Jesus today as your Messiah and be reconciled with God. Brother Jeff, how can I be reconciled with God? You reconcile yourself with God with repentance of your sin. Repentance of your sin is not, sorry, God, I got busted. Repentance is, God, I'm sorry, truly sorry about my sin, because it is total rejection of you. And I don't want to be in that sin no more. So God, I'm going to turn from that sin, and I'm going to trust in your son, Jesus, who lived for me perfectly and died for that sin, my sin. And I'm going to put my faith and trust that he rose from the grave and defeated my sin and defeated my death. And therefore, God, I claim Jesus. I'm going to just tell you, in that moment, you'll be baptized with the Spirit of God, and your eternity will be secure forever and ever and ever. Amen. Be reconciled to God through your repentance and your faith in Jesus Christ. He lived for you. He died for you. And he rose for you. And he did that knowing that you had the choice. Think about that for a second. He did that knowing that only a few would receive it. and many would reject it. See, this is what I believe. I believe if I was the only one, I believe this with all of my heart, if I was the only one in all of eternity who was going to say yes, he still would have done it. Amen. See, it's personal. It's personal to me. It should be personal to you. If you're sitting in this place today and you're kind of in, you're not in. You may not like that. You either got Jesus or you don't. Jesus either has you or he don't. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you won't struggle. It just means you're saved or you're not. My prayer is that you're saved today. If you're not, here's the thing. Are you breathing right now? You are? That means it's not too late. Reconciliation can still happen. You can be right with God right now if you'll repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus. It's not too late.